We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Wait a minute. Stop the presses. Hold on. Before we all get crushed by the blue wave that is coming, right? Perhaps we should stop and read this. Okay. By ABC News' Rick Klein. Here's a problem. I mean, I remember I pointed this out a few days ago that we keep getting beaten over the head by, blue wave's coming now. You might as well just quit right now. Don't even bother to vote. Blue wave's coming. It's going to crush everything in its wake because Democrats are, you know, pick the day. It varies. Plus four, plus six, plus eight, plus two, whatever. In the generic ballot. The generic ballot, for those of you new to politics, is just, you know, where they ask you, hey, who do you prefer running for Congress? The generic Democrat or the generic Republican? It just tests the strength of the parties, right? They don't actually name candidates because then you might have a bias for or against the candidate messes it up. So it's called the generic ballot, right? And they use it to predict if somebody's going to take over Congress. Okay, they've been using the national generic ballot, and that's all they talk about, right? Over and over. And I've been saying, wait a minute, the national generic ballot, but what about looking at the individual state races? Why are they not talking about that? And I said that a couple of days ago. Here we go. ABC News' Rick Klein takes a look at the current generic ballot polling from the latest Washington Post-ABC partnership inside the battleground districts. Just the battleground districts. Not all districts, the battleground congressional districts, the ones that are swing. They could go either way. And guess what he finds? Inside the generic ballot, inside the battleground districts in the country, there are 66 of them, has Republicans up by one. That's still close.
Yeah.
But it ain't a big lead for the Democrats. Right. In fact, they're not in the lead. Now, this is not some conservative side. This is ABC News' Rick Klein.
Yeah, that's.
So, he's practically coming from Democrat Party headquarters.
Really?
Right? Now, here's the crazy thing. Okay. According to Washington Post, ABC's poll numbers, the results from these 66 battleground districts would make it difficult for Democrats to win control of the House. They need a 23-seat flip, which means they have to win 45 of the 66 battleground seats in an environment where Republicans are ahead by 1 point on the generic ballot. Normally, for those of you just, you know, you're new to politics, you don't follow this stuff. Normally, when it's like, a plus two, plus three Democrats, in other words, Democrats ahead a few points, Republicans win because we're better at turnout. There's fewer of us, but we're better at turnout. The Democrats, you know, tend to generally have trouble getting off the couch compared to us anyway. So usually, you know, if they'll say, oh, generic ballot has Democrats up by three, that's good for Republicans. That means we'll probably win most of the time. And so when you look at in the battleground districts, the generic ballot just in those districts has Republicans up one. He continues, the redrawing of Pennsylvania's congressional districts makes things a little easier. But that still means they would have to win 42 out of 66 seats instead of 45. An environment that favors Republicans. It's not impossible, but it's not the way I'd bet.
Wonder if they're trying to set things up so that when things don't turn out as they've been talking about for months.
Wondering that. See, because I can't make sense of this, Lee. I've been talking about this for days, okay? And I'm not predicting anything because I'm not going to tell you I know. I don't know. But here's what I do know. When you start looking at the bleeding, at the bleed here. I mean, I can't get over this. When you have millennial men who are coming out of 2016 election, plus 12 for the Democrats. They lean toward the Democrats. It's not surprising. They're young. Young people have always done this. Millennial men voting for Democrats plus 12, right? And within 2 years, they're at plus 11 for the Republicans, a 23-point flip, a 23-point swing among millennial men in 2 years. Well, millennial men, that'd be like half of millennials, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm using Common Core math here, but that'd be like half, right? Because there's only two sexes. All right, wait, that's not right. there's mostly two sexes, right?
depending on whom you would talk with and what they identify with today.
So now I mean, like, half millennials favor the Republicans by 11 points. Now, keep in mind, that was in June, before Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're going to bleed millennial men. Don't need them. Tell them to go pound sand. Men suck anyway. Go right off into the sunset. All right. You don't need men. Okay, and then we find out that blue-collar millennials have completely bucked the voting trend, including those under 30, and they're voting heavily GOP. Blue-collar millennials, under 30. I mean, I still can't get over that stat. I mean, I've never seen the sentence in all of my adult life, Republican candidate winning with voters under 30. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No.
Well, it's happening in swing district after swing district where there is a heavy population of blue-collar millennials. Republicans are leading with millennials. Now you get more into the urban areas and you have white-collar millennials,
right.
Not so much. White-collar millennial women go for the Democrats by a 20-point margin. But again, women are only like half of millennials. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so when you have these massive leads and blue-collar is defecting, and by the way, it's not just blue-collar men defecting, millennial men, it's blue-collar men and women defecting together and voting Republican for the first time. They used to vote for the Democrats. So you don't need men. When you say millennial men, right, that's men under 44. You realize that. Like, that's a lot to lose. And they're going to take millennial blue-collar women with them. So all you got left of the younger generation now in terms of voting is you're going to count on the white-collar women? I can't put together how this is going to happen, this wave. So I just don't know who's in it.
Well, I'm still concerned. You know, you've heard me talk about this, about all the social media encouragement to register to vote. And all that in the social media. I've seen this all over Facebook and Google and ads and, you know, Tumblr, Twitter, Snapchat, all these other things, all the social media. And I got to think about this other thing. We had a story the other day, and I'm not sure if it was Uber or Lyft or both, but they're talking about giving free rides to the polls.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
think about that.
Who are they taking?
Exactly.
Who are they taking?
Where do you
Did it say?
Where? No. Didn't say. It just said, you know, if you need a ride to the polls, you know, talk to us, call us, whatever. Just think about that, though. That would most likely to be taking place where? In urban areas.
Yeah.
Well.
But it's urban areas that are skewing the generic ballot. According to this guy from ABC, they're skewing the generic ballot because when they do the generic ballot, they count all these really big congressional districts that are like on the coast, the blue coast. You know what I'm saying? You know, these blue areas, when you throw them out and only look at the toss-ups, if it's R+1, maybe taking, you know, I mean, because think about it, who uses Lyft or Uber? It's young people, right?
Right.
Well, I don't know if y'all want to be taking those blue-collar millennials to the polls.
Well, listen, I guess I am prejudiced in this viewpoint, but I seriously think that most of the more conservative-leaning millennials mm-hmm. are more likely to get in their vehicle and go down there and do it themselves and not depend on someone
true.
To come get them, if
that's
you get
true.
My drift.
Although, I don't know, if they're conservatives like you and I, they're awfully cheap.
Well,
you know what I mean?
They
might want to play the gas.
Well, no. Then you've got a situation. Because honestly, if you look at the cost of Uber and Lyft, it's cheaper to have your own vehicle and go yourself. It really is.
Yeah. No, it is. They did a study on that.
This is just, you know, you're paying a premium for all kinds of different things. And actually, for the cost per mile, it's more expensive to call for that ride. For the cost per mile than it is to have your own vehicle that you've paid for or are paying for, or you and the bank own or whatever, insurance, gas, and all that other stuff. And that's just, it's a convenience thing. It's not a money saver, it's convenience.
Listen, I'm not predicting anything at all, okay? I just thought that it was very interesting when you look at this.
I agree.
To see a generic ballot in the swing districts, because I've not seen a peep on this. And I guarantee you if the Democrats were winning those swing districts, they'd be screaming about it from the rafters.
I just don't
want anybody
to get overconfident about
this. Oh, no.
This.
Are you kidding me? Listen, this is what I want to remind people, especially my North Carolina listeners. This is a really, you are a purple state. Listen, there are mathematically, and this has not changed, more of them than there are of us. We only win when we turn out at a higher rate.
Yeah.
They have, it's advantage Democrat every time we go to the polls
and
because there's more of them. Do not stay home and think this is in the bag. Because think about it, if it's R+1, that's down to the line.
Well,
all that says is there's not going to be a big blue wave, but they could still win.
But especially in a midterm election.
Yes.
Now, granted, you got the whole thing about a midterm and the first term of a new president. Yeah, the opposite party usually does better. But, you know, we're not in normal times.
No,
anymore.
We're not.
And once again, midterms would tend to really embolden those who are impassioned. And as you've pointed out, and this is, you know, statistically provable, that it is the Republicans who turn out in droves to support their candidates. And sometimes in the midterms, the Democrats just don't show up. So
yeah,
but count on it.
It's also Republicans who are being spat upon,
yes,
beaten in the streets,
exactly,
thrown out of restaurants,
yeah,
maligned, called
mm-hmm.
gang rapists.
Right.
I mean, we're not in usual times. And you know what else is interesting? Democrats aren't running on anything. They have completely abandoned having a platform.
We should identify as oppressed.
Oh, you don't do that already? I do that every day.
Okay.
It's a good thing. It's a good habit to get into.
I haven't played the oppression card yet.
Oh, you should try it. Well, okay. No, actually, don't. You're white male. It won't work.
Exactly.
It won't work. You just end up being
beaten
in the parking
lot. Mine expired
a
long time ago.
Yeah, I know. Good luck with that. Texter writes, most likely the Democrats will use Uber to take their cheaters who vote for dead people from poll site to poll site in order to beat GOP congressmen in swing districts. Sad but true, yeah. Texter writes, Uber or Lyft paying for rides to polls is a contribution in kind to the Democrats. The GOP should seek the FEC to sanction them. Well, that would assume that rules apply to Democrats. We can't do that. Texter writes, blue wave equals voter fraud. So says Chuck in Woodruff. Texter writes, they're going to find the votes in the cemeteries in the illegal immigrant population, like always, LOL. Texter writes, Tara, can you say acorn? That's a word I haven't heard in a while. Texter writes, we need to use our common sense. What we do outside of work should not affect our jobs. Well, not if it's a, if it's a crime, yeah. But if it's a crime of political incorrectness, then, well, no. No, not that. By the way, did you see Lindsey Graham on Fox News this morning? Did you see him? Yeah. I'm sorry, but did you see what he said on Fox News? He said he used his Fox News interview, part of it anyway, to advocate for amnesty for the 11 million. Hello, Lindsey. We know it's 20 now. That was last week. Well, we got to get them citizens. Why? Listen, I am. We're going to fall for this again. We're going to fall for this again. Folks. Well, but Lindsey stood up. He found a backbone instead of for cabinet. Who cares? If Lindsey legalizes the 20 million, it's not 11, sir. Follow the news. It's 20. And he puts the writer in there again, the addendum, whatever you call it, that said that it fast tracks them to the voting booth. Normally it's about 13-year process. They would get it in 5. And we add 20 million people to the voter rolls, or however many are adults among them. That's going to be most of them. Again, let me tell you what happens. Florida goes permanently blue. Texas goes permanently blue. North Carolina goes permanently blue. South Carolina goes purple. Georgia goes permanently blue. Arizona goes permanently blue. We never win another national election ever again. And we never get another Supreme Court justice again. Who leads the confirmation process? Mr. Graham, say it with me. That would be Senator Feinstein. So you're like, yeah, he stood up. Who cares? If he's still going to push amnesty, he is the problem. You can't get past that math no matter what you do. They have no right to citizenship in the vote. They do not. And as long as he's on television insisting that, he is the enemy. Because you can't get around that math I just laid out for you. Well, but they're nice people. Maybe they are. They have been brought here by the Democrats for a specific reason, and that is because they vote 80%+ Democrat. End of story. They are here to nullify your votes. They are here because even most of the Democrat Party considers the Democrat agenda too radical. Let me give you an example. From the Podesta letter to the Democrats, Democrat candidates, don't talk about immigration. Don't talk about open borders. We'll lose. 70% of Americans oppose you, including a majority, well, it's a plurality, of our own party. Lindsey Graham wants to put them in power permanently. We will have open borders. We will never have Kavanaugh again. If Lindsey Graham passes that amnesty bill with the votes they'll have, they will recall Kavanaugh and they will have Lindsey to thank. He is not on our side. This is theatrics. He watched Jeff Flake have to quit his seat because of how unpopular he is. Lindsey Graham's numbers aren't much better, and he's trying to fool you. Listen, if he was going to have an about face and get a backbone on amnesty and understand that it would put the very people he so eloquently criticized over Kavanaugh in charge of every single future Supreme Court nomination confirmation process until they die in office, would you vote for that? Would you vote to put Dianne Feinstein permanently in control? No. Well, he just said he was gonna. Folks, this man is dangerous. I'm telling you, this makes him even more. I love what he did. I praised him for it. But if he's still pushing amnesty, you can't get past the math on that. And he knows it. And what I would love for somebody who loved Lindsey Graham all of a sudden, I ran into a bunch of them last night. Oh, he's great. No, he's not. No, he's not. What I would love for somebody to ask him, sir, why on earth would you fast track the voting? Would you support a bill, a DACA bill, with a voting fast track of 5 years to get them to the polls as soon as possible when they vote for Democrats at a plus 80% rate? Why would you do that, sir? Golly, somebody but me ask him. He won't let me within 200 feet of him because he knows I'll ask these questions. I was a member of a Republican GOP women's group in Charleston. A member. They paid my joining fee. He was going to speak. I got tickets, as did everybody else. They called me and disinvited me to speak. He's so afraid I'll ask him a question. Have you seen him in public taking questions? No, because he can't answer that question. Don't fall for this. He's not one of us. This is just a sleight of hand by a guy who knew ahead of the time, who knew ahead of time what Charles Grassley had on Blasey, who knew ahead of time what the prosecutor had on Blasey for it. He knew. He knew what would come out days in advance because, listen, they knew. They were already setting Christine Blasey Ford up to fail with their questions at the hearing. Lindsey Graham's on that committee. He knew, too. He knew what direction this was going to go by a week later, and that's why he screamed and yelled like he did in that meeting. He put his thumb up to the wind, licked his finger, saw the direction things were going, and he capitalized on it. For that man who just saw what they are capable of in that Kavanaugh hearing, berated them for it, to do the one thing that will give them never-ending power on par with the Chinese Communist government. We will have a one-party system. They will beat us in the streets. If you don't believe that, let me go ahead and Google Portland and Antifa. And when they beat us, because all the judges are going to be appointed now by Democrats, Lindsey will ensure that with his amnesty vote. Guess what? Guess what? You're never going to get justice again in this country. You better go ahead and internalize that dual justice system and act accordingly. Laws apply overly to you and not at all to them, because Lindsey Graham just guaranteed it. If you vote for that man, I'm going to remind you of this over and over. He will take it as a mandate for amnesty. What is he doing with his little bit of post-Kavanaugh bump? He's on Fox selling amnesty. And he thinks there are 11 million. He doesn't even read the news. Don't fall for this. Good God. How many times do we have to fall for this? I mean, he's biding his time to put the very people who did Kavanaugh the way they did him in power. It will not turn out any other way than that. And it can't happen fast. As I said, it cannot happen fast enough to make Lindsey happy. That's why he supported that DACA bill that fast tracks the voting. 5 years. It should be 13. 5 years. Oh, by the way, and it bring over 10 million of their family members here who aren't even in the country through chain migration. He can't. Lindsey, you want to talk about Uber and lifting people to the polls. Lindsey's trying to bring them here from other continents to bring them to the polls. To nullify your vote and make sure that Dianne Feinstein's and Chuck Schumer's of the world are always and forever in control of the Senate going forward, and there'll never be another Republican-appointed Supreme Court justice. Go ahead and vote for him. See how you like it. Going to jump on the phone line, Lee, with James in Greenville. Hey, James.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to say real quick, man, I love it when you and Lee get, like, fired up about an issue. Because then it gets my blood going, you know, it's freaking exciting. But well, I just wanted to back up the point you were making about Lindsey was, you know, one, most people already know around here, you know, it starts getting closer to election time. He starts, you know, really going to the right, and he comes out and says some really great stuff. And I agree with you totally about, you know, I'm glad he went on his rant in the middle of that hearing. But if everybody goes back and watches it, he tells you right there in the middle of it. He calls those people on the other side of the aisle. They're my friends. And I mean, it's just that's kind of the status quo or whatever, what happens in Washington. We send them up there. They talk a good game, but then they get into that whole, you know, I want to be liked and I want to fit in. And then they just start going, you know, they start slowly but surely going to that other side and they go and compromise until they compromise their principles away.
Yep. And I'm going to, I hate to do this, but I'm going to let you go because you're breaking up. Do you remember what Lindsey Graham said, Lee, when he was yelling? And it was one of the best epic rants I've like ever heard done in politics. Yeah. It was amazing at the Kavanaugh hearing. But do you remember specifically what he said to the Democrats? I hope I'm pulling it up right now. I should have done this before. I didn't think about it. But what he said to the Democrats, I hope you never get power.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he's on Fox News this morning. Oh, well, you know, I still want to do amnesty. You know, it's just going to be 11 million. No, sir, read the news. We have found out it's 20 million. This is from the mainstream media in the last week, right? I mean, you do know that when you do that and you fast track them with your usual 5-year, you know, fast track that you put in there in the DACA bill, we are going to lose. We will never have a Republican president again. We'll never have a Republican presidential nominee for the Supreme Court again. And guess who's going to be running those Supreme Court hearings? The people he said, I hope you never get power. He's sitting on Fox News 2 weeks later trying to figure out how to get him some power. I mean, do you know whose idea the fast track was? The voting fast track, not 13, but 5 years? Chuck Schumer! I don't mean to yell, but good God. I mean, so he didn't mean it when he said he hoped they didn't get power. He's trying to figure out how to get him some. Figuring his stupid voters won't be any the wiser. And you know what? He'll probably win again. And when he does, he's going to use it as a mandate for amnesty. It's brilliant. He is not a dumb guy. I have a lot of criticism for him. It's not personal. It's all on the issues.
Yeah.
But I will say about him, if you want to compliment him, he's not a dumb guy.
He's a brilliant politician.
He has figured out how to manipulate so that the Democrats can get the power he claims he doesn't want them to have. Listen, since 1965, when Teddy Kennedy did that immigration bill, it changed the way that we took immigrants. That bill was designed for one reason and one reason only, and it was to make sure that populations of immigrants that vote 80%+ for Democrats were the majority we were taking into this country. This is why we are where we are, and they did it for one reason, because they think decades ahead, and they knew, Lee, that they could not get to the end game of their long-term plans with the votes of the American people or even the votes of their own party members. It was too radical. They had to remake the electorate, and Lindsey Graham's trying to help them. Richard and Duncan, good morning.
How you doing?
Good.
I will vote for Lindsey Graham, and I would go out and dial for dollars and go knock on doors and anything I could do. I could stand out in the middle of the road with a sign saying, vote for Lindsey Graham. Only problem is it would have to be in Vermont, New Hampshire, or Massachusetts.
I'd be right there with you, Richard.
Because that's the only Republican that you'll ever get up there in that area of the country. That's all I'm saying. As far as him for down here, I'd do the same thing to vote against the man. Anyway, I call him Lindsey Lapdog, but that's my personal opinion. Anyway, you have a good day, and thanks for listening.
Well, thank you. It's just stunning to me to hear him push for amnesty, the one thing the Democrats most need. 2 weeks after he screamed at them, I hope you never get power. That's the one thing they need to give them power.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't blame I don't blame the illegal immigrants. Washington invited them here. I mean, heck, it was even the George Bush administration down there in Mexico advertising about how they could come here and get on welfare. Both parties did this. You know, we are the victims here, the American people. They were invited here. I don't blame them. I blame the political class for going along with this. You cannot import 20 million people and give them citizenship in the vote who voted an 80%+ Democrat rate and think you're still going to have a country with two parties, because you're not. Pat in Union, good morning.
Oh, thank you. I will not vote for Lindsey Graham. He did not fool me with all his talking. He was looking for votes, and that was the only way he could get them. Now his true colors are showing. I'm just praying we get a halfway decent man that will run against him. And when it comes to voting, our truck out here is out open for our neighbors to go anywhere they need to. All they have to do is call and ask us. We will take them with no charge. That's being a good neighbor.
Well,
and
good,
I want to see
you.
The doctor. I want to see the doctor that put this paperwork out saying she's half Indian, because I'll call him a liar to his face.
Yep. Well, I can't reconcile the two sides of Lindsey Graham. Texter writes, as soon as the Democrats get power, Lindsey Graham will change parties. Oh, that's exactly what he's going to do. It's what he's always planned, I'm sure. I mean, either that or he'll retire because he's getting up there in age. Texter writes, who do we vote for, Tara? I don't know. I don't know who's running against him. I don't know what they stand for either. So I can't tell you at this point. Texter writes, you go, girl. Tara, that Graham is a dangerous man. Yes, he is. Texter writes, they suffer from insanity, voting for Graham over and over and expecting something different. People use the brain you have. Yeah. I was hoping he'd turned a corner, though, Lee. I really was with this Kavanaugh thing. I was hoping that, you know, and again, I'm not picking on Lindsey Graham personally. I don't know him.
Exactly.
He might be a fine individual. I am hitting him on the merits of what he says he believes factually. That's what we do here.
This is one of the real disagreements that I have with the senator on his view on amnesty and its effect on the American electorate. I mean, I just completely disagree. And, you know, there's a couple of other things, but, you know, for the most part, he votes along the Republican lines, but still just, you know, not what I'm looking for. I mean, you know, Tim Scott's got a better, more conservative voting record in the Senate than Lindsey Graham does.
Yeah, and I mean, for Lindsey Graham to say it the way he did on Fox this morning, I'll have the audio this morning, tomorrow. I can't process it fast enough right now, but, you know, he says, we got to get the 11 million. I mean, no, we don't. He said, talking about citizenship, we got to get a man. No, we don't. We don't. We don't have to do that. Why do we have to do that? Explain it to me just one time. Why? Why do we need that? Why is it about them? Why? I mean, the number one thing when we debate this should always be, okay, if we give them citizenship and we let them vote, then this is what the electoral map will look like. Do you want to live in this country?
And you need to keep pointing out, too, Tara, that you're talking about the folks that are in this country illegally.
Yes, illegally.
And this is not about stopping people of certain races, ethnicities, or nationalities from immigrating to this country. Immigrating is a process. Immigrating is a legal process, and we have a legal process in place to do it. You can speak to millions of immigrants all over this country that have immigrated to this country, who have come from overseas, from the South African, from the South American continent, from Central America, who have come into this country the legal way.
Let me give you another example. They are the ones who are racist.
Yes.
We are the ones who want diversity. There are places where people are just as poor, like the Ukraine, Poland, places like that in Eastern Europe that
Appalachia.
Struggle. They will not take those people because when they get here, they don't have an 80% voting rate for Democrats. This is why when you looked at the percentages of refugees Obama was taking, 2/3 were Muslim from the Middle East. And the Christians, who are the ones being killed
and oppressed,
were left there to rot because they don't vote Democrat. And the ones who were killing them, I don't know about specifically personally killing them, but the groups that were killing them, namely Sunni Muslims, we were taking. And it drove me insane. I mean, it was 2/3 of our refugees that we were taking, not the victims of the murder. And we were taking Sunni Muslims. Guess why? They have the highest pro-Democrat voting rate. It's over 90%. These are the groups driving Christians from their homes. We left the Christians to die and to rot because they don't vote the right way.
Well,
so don't talk to me, not you, but don't talk to me about diversity. That ain't diversity.
Muslim theology lines up with socialist ideology.
Yes, it's authoritarian.
Yes, it's as much a form of government as it is a religion.
So let's have some diversity. 2/3 from the Middle East are Muslim. In fact, we had hardly taken any Christians in some of those quarters. I mean, it was like literally like 5 or 6. And we were looking at like 10, 15, 20,000 Muslim individuals in a month. I mean, you want to talk about lack of diversity and discrimination. There you go. There's Exhibit A. Trump has been reversing that. He's now got the Muslim proportion below 50%, as it should be. Sunnis are the only group in the Middle East not being persecuted. ISIS is Sunni. They're the ones who hid ISIS. ISIS, they blend into the community. What community? The Sunni community. Why are we taking Sunnis? They vote 90%+ for Democrats? I mean, come on!
We need to give them citizenship.
Why? Make an argument. Why? I just, I'm just so disgusted with him. I'm done here. I'm done with him. I won't let you forget this before the election. I won't. Ooh, yeah. Let's hear from Lewis and Tiara. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, great show as always. Just a quick point. And maybe it's already a moot point, but it bugs me when people say path to citizenship. How about we talk about a path to legalization? That's what we're talking about. And I think that talking about that helps to bring to the point that these people are illegal without having to say it. I'm appalled by the number of Americans who think that if you're here in this country legally, you're a citizen. No, there's millions of legal residents, and we're happy to have them. They don't ever intend to be a citizen of the United States. They don't want to. That's fine with us. They're here legally to work and to live for a better life, but they don't want to be citizens. That's fine. But why do we have to give illegal aliens a path to citizenship and try to fast-track them to citizenship? Compromise, if we were even to compromise, which I don't even think we should do that, would be not to say should we make them citizens in 5 years or 12 years, but whether or not we should make them legal or have a path to legalization. What do you think about that if we change the way we talk about it?
Well, I don't want to talk about a path to legalization. Because that's a green card, and this is what they're offering them, usually is some form of green card with the amnesty. And what that is, you get the green card, that's a path to citizenship. And then, you know, I'll never forget, Lewis, and this is why you can't fall for this, okay? I will never forget George W. Bush thought he had the votes for amnesty. We were freaking out. We had been melting down the phone lines for weeks and weeks. You couldn't call your congressman's office. It was round the clock. And Bush didn't care. He's a globalist. And the Gang of Eight, including Lindsey, didn't care. They were going to vote, and they didn't care what we thought. And they came up short by like one vote. But they thought they had the votes, Lewis, the night before. I will never forget this. I went to bed thinking the country was gone. They thought they had the votes the night before. And on TV, Chuck Schumer or Luis Gutierrez? I can't remember. Good gosh, it was one of the two. But I'll never forget what he said. It's one of the two. Said, "Whoa, hold on, wait a minute. We need to follow this up immediately with the legislation to get them to vote. I mean, it's not fair that these people are now going to have this pathway to citizenship, but they're living legally in this country, but they have no say in what we do." And so literally the night they hadn't even passed the amnesty yet, they thought they had the votes, and they were already planning the follow up legislation to get them the vote, Lewis. So you can't believe anything they say about amnesty. You can't believe, well, we're just going to give them a pathway to citizenship. Is it guaranteed? Yeah. How long is it? 13 years. So they'll be citizens? Yeah. So they'll be voting? Yeah. Okay. Well, then what you assume then, given what we've already seen in the Democrats, the day after the amnesty passes will be the day they begin pushing the legislation to get them the vote. We've already seen that. That's the purpose of the illegal immigrants, to shut you up, Lewis, and nullify your vote. That's why they left the borders open. Believe me, if we had Polish people and Christians from the Middle East flooding over our borders, the Democrats would have landmined it by now. They'd be arms and feet blown off when you tried to cross. That's what they would have done. They would have said it was an invasion of the country by white supremacists. You know the line. They can't get their own people to vote for what they want anymore, at least not open borders. So they got to find somebody who will. That's what this is about. You can't, Lewis, it doesn't matter how they put it. You can't believe anything. Come on, they're the swamp.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.